Thanks for tuning in for the Book Club at 91.7 here on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning and glad to have in the studio with me Felicia Day, whose memoir, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, is now out in paperback with a bonus chapter included. Felicia, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks so much for having me.
I have to admit and confess at the beginning, I am a fanboy of your fun girl and have really enjoyed all the work you do. And it's amazing how much you've done in just a short length of time. This has been kind of like kapow for you.
It's been, I mean, to me, it's almost been 9 years. So that seems a long time to me, but long enough for, I think, a whole book worth.
Well, I knew of your work, but I didn't know that you were a violinist. I didn't know that you liked math. And so, you know, it's your odd upbringing that you attribute to being weird on the internet these days.
Yeah, I was homeschooled my whole life. I went to first grade only. And then my mother decided to just pull us out of school and do it herself. It was more like an unschooling situation, though. There really was no discipline or structure. Mostly I was raised by tutors and lessons. And TV and the internet. So I think that's what kind of why I do what I do now, which is mostly making internet content, is that the only way I could really reach my peers or people I thought were my peers was through the early, early internet, the CompuServe and very old school, before the internet we know it.
Well, you've done a lot of things. You started out as an actress, or work as an actress still. I shouldn't say started out as. I'm sorry. But you have done quite a bit around that acting. When you took it to the web, when you were one of the first people to exploit what they call web TV these days, what that spark that you reveal in your book came from a support group, you said.
Yeah. So I created a show called The Guild about, oh my gosh, it's going to be 10 years next year, which is crazy. But it was the very beginning of the web that we know it. It was the year after YouTube was started. And I wrote a script about gamers because I was addicted to gaming. And the only reason why I ever wrote that script was that I had a group of women that I met with weekly to share goals with and set more goals and keep accountable. And I wasn't very accountable until the point where I forced myself to stop playing the video games and start writing about the video games. And out of that support group, I met a couple of women and we decided to make my script because it wasn't really very attractive to the people in Hollywood. They didn't really understand gaming or much of anything I was writing about. And the great thing is that I love the internet, and with web just hitting the internet, I put two things that I love together, and that started my career.
Well, I mentioned the math and the violin, and you were heading to, I mean, you were a very accomplished violinist, but you wanted to be an actress. What was that breaking away?
Yeah, that was a big turning point in my life. I was homeschooled my whole life. I went to college when I was 16 for violin and mathematics. I graduated, and then I just got on a bus and went to LA. And I can't say that it was the most logical leap, but the funny thing is that in my life, the two parallels to sort of reaching other people have been the internet and acting, because wherever I was, I would do little theater. I did a sweet charity in Louisville when I was 14. I played like prostitute number 7 or something. It was great. And so really my connection to other people was never through schooling. It was through theater and the internet. And that's funny that now my whole career is performing and the internet.
The memoirs are difficult to write. I just did an interview about why we write about ourselves, Meredith Moran's book about a memoirist who write. And it's for seeking a truth. What sparked you to write You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost? I mean, why did you feel you had a truth you wanted to share at this point in your life?
I think that, you know, it's a combination of a couple of things. I would go around the country and the world and speak to fans of my work, and seeing the kind of things that resonated with them the most were the stories of my struggles to get over my writer's block and get my voice out there, and my story of rebellion in making something even though Hollywood wouldn't give me permission. And I think it came at a point in my life that I was very burnt out and away from where I found fulfillment, as well as my fans found fulfillment from my work, because I started a business that I love, Geek & Sundry, but all the skills that the business morphed into were not the skills that had gotten me where I was. The acting and performing and writing took a backseat to getting all this business off the ground. And, you know, struggling through that, the idea of sort of summarizing my life in a more permanent version, as well as being able to work through, you know, why I was unhappy and several other things that were going on in my life. It was more almost self-therapy in a way, but also I just saw that there was something that I was doing that meant something to other people. And I knew that if I encapsulated that in something permanent, I could have the freedom to do other things as I went forward in my life. And really, I think anybody should kind of look at their life in a way that's objective and trying to make it useful for other people, because I learned more about myself in the process of writing a memoir than I think anything I've ever done.
Felicia Day, her memoir, now out in paperback, is Your Never Weird on the Internet, almost, as a foreword by Joss Whedon. And the new one has a bonus chapter. The paperback has a bonus chapter in it, available where books are sold. Learn more at our website, wvxu.org. So you were addicted to drugs and decided to write web stories? Sorry.
No drugs, I promise. My only drug of choice was coffee, but I quit that as well, just for anxiety purposes.
No, I'm actually quoting the added chapter there where you say on TV,
yes, yes.
You know, person asked you that in the morning. But you know, as you went out, you make it clear in the extra chapter and other parts of the book where the feedback from the book has been very different than what you expected. I mean, you have, just like anything, the good and the bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the hardback when it came out in the fall last year I didn't know what to expect, and you know, it was amazing turnout all around the country. But the kinds of people who came up to me and shared their story and what they took from it was almost different from what I expected. The chapter that people most respond to is the one where I relay sort of bottoming out and having to deal with a lot of depression and anxiety and imposter syndrome and just being on the edge of really being capable of dealing with life and yet having to still be a public figure. And I think that's really been the most fulfilling to share, even though it was the hardest to write, because people have told me, I've got help. I went to therapy because of this. I decided to start taking antidepressants because of this. I'm working on my anxiety. And like, they're transforming their life because of, you know, reading about my journey that was so terrible to live through. So that was amazing. And, you know, there was some criticism. There's a chapter in the book from the hardback about a lot of online bullying that I went through, and especially around the culture of gaming, which is my first love always. And, you know, I had to experience some backlash in writing about that, which I knew going in, when I wrote about it, I would receive that. But honestly, it was drowned out by so much more positive feedback that it was worth writing about, because you shouldn't be hostage to negativity, to center yourself because of the negative. So I'm really glad I wrote about that as well.
And that is something I had to smile about it as I saw the evolution of the gaming society in your memoir, where you talk about how it used to be you would share that conviviality with other gamers. But just like with so many things we see these days, things become polarized very easily.
Yeah, and the point of what I wanted to talk about that was that, you know, I thought that there were some really bad behavior by a minority of people who were being used by the media to paint all gamers as being inhospitable and sexist and hostile to anybody with differing viewpoints, almost a political situation in the world of gaming. And that hasn't gone away necessarily, but the extreme, really abhorrent behavior was being used to paint a brush on all gaming. And I, you know, for me, gaming is a very social, accepting world. I mean, I would not be who I am without the ability to express my love of certain games and feeling accepted around that, of being isolated as a homeschooled kid and yet making a friend instantly because they knew the same game that I did. And, you know, I think it's more of a reflection maybe on the expansion of the culture and just gaming being more popular and having more people be from differing backgrounds and points of view, but still loving games. So I don't know if it's ever going to be a monolith again, like the young gaming world that I was a part of. But at the same time, I do believe that gaming is an art form, and the more differing personalities and expressions in gaming that we have, the richer the culture will be. And I think especially with VR, it's not going to go away anytime soon. So I'm still a believer in gaming, and although I'm not as big a face in gaming now, I'm always going to spend a weekend gaming rather than doing other things.
You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, a memoir by Felicia Day. You learn more about it at WVXU.org. And I was amused as I was reading this again, how, you know, you were talking about World of Warcraft and being sucked into World of Warcraft and addicted to gaming and spending so much time with it. But I had to smile when you swapped it for social media, which can be just as big a time suck as the rest of it. So is it really better?
Is social media better than gaming?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, but, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that if you're a creative person, it can be a distraction and it could definitely take up time that you should be bored. Because I think boredom really is the best motivation for creating something. But at the same time, I think the internet is a beautiful tool that we can use to feel accepted, to connect with people who make us feel okay about who we are in the face of maybe not feeling that in real life. And really, our online worlds are as reflective as our offline worlds in some ways. If you look at the hours that we spend in one world or another, like, they might even be parity equals at this point. No one's never not on their phone. And good or bad, that's just where our society is going. So I think making your online world as supportive and safe as possible should be a real priority for all of us, because it's almost a world that we can control a little bit more and make more ideal for us to flourish as people.
So the added chapter is about your book tour, and it reveals that things have changed since that hardback came out. And since you did finish that first book tour, you've really had a change in life.
I really have. And I'm a much different person than I was 6 months ago. And I don't mean to exaggerate, but I think having shared my story and then gotten home and realized there were some things that were making me unhappy in my own life, and just being more self-aware of patterns of my behavior and where I derived joy and where others people derive joy from my work, I decided to get a little bit more ruthless about my time. And I log off a little bit more, and I'm much more focused on being a creator and being a writer and a performer. And although it's been tough to say no to a lot of things and sort of clear my world out, I used a machete and definitely mowed down everything that was in my path. And, you know, some people, I think, see a lot of sadness in that chapter of, but I just see hope. I just see a new beginning, and the willingness to cut off a branch that might have been fulfilling in the past, but is weighing me down now. So, you know, I think unless you're evolving, you're stagnating, right? So I'm very happy with who I am, and especially working on my anxiety just to live a little bit easier has been very fulfilling for me personally.
You mentioned, you know, gaming is what you got you into all this. But with all that I see you do, I mean, I have your website up here, and under your projects is gaming live streams, personal vlogs, and Tabletop and Dragon. And, you know, what you've done, some of it's your past, you know, some of it's you continue to work on. Do you have time to still do gaming?
You know, I don't game quite as much. I do stream gaming once a week because I have such an amazing community who love to watch me game. But as far as hobbies go, you know, it's definitely a little bit less nowadays because I'm really focused on writing now, and I'm trying to watch more TV and movies as a job and just be a little bit more social offline as well as online. So, you know, I think it's a constant balance, and life is hard in that we have so much choice and so much freedom to be who we want. And it's almost a curse in a way, but also a blessing if we're really vigilant every day about what we're going to do with our time to build to a long-term goal versus a short-term. I think we've never lived in a better time.
So you talk about how exhausting the first book tour was, and here you are on another. And if I'm not mistaken, this is getting close to, this is at least the second half of this tour. What has been different this time around on tour from the first time around?
I think this time around, it's been a little bit less crazy in that I'm doing a little bit less press, and it's, the schedule's a little bit easier. But I just am trying to approach life in a little more relaxed manner. I drink decaf now, which was a terrible transition. It was really repugnant. But, taking out that kind of the things that make me kind of spike in anxiety and taking care of my body a little bit more, being more physical and also watching what I eat. It's made me a lot better to cope with just sort of the long haul of it. And also just learning to appreciate, you know, every single moment, every single person I meet, however many people I meet at a signing, they're taking time out of their day to come meet me. And it's such a privilege. And it's so exciting just to meet different kinds of people. And I meet architects and archaeologists and scientists and girls who want to become a computer scientist and, you know, retired professors. And really, there's just such a beautiful breadth of experience and humanity in this world. And I think that it's definitely a privilege for me to be able to experience so much of it in so little time.
Thanks for taking some time to sit down and talk today.
Well, thanks for enjoying my work. I didn't know you knew about it before, so I'm even more flattered.
Well, her work also includes not only the online web series The Guild, but also appearances on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Supernatural and just so many to check out. You can learn more about Felicia and all her work at our website, wvxu.org. The memoir, now out in paperback with a bonus chapter included, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, by Felicia Day. This is the Book Club at 91.7.